Out on the Limb with Dr. Nicola Bird in partnership with Beauty and Wellness TV, your one stop for leading a happy, healthy, and successful life, celebrating life and illuminating mind, heart, body, and soul.
Welcome, welcome. I am Dr. Nicola Bird. I am a psychotherapist and I am the founder of Self-Imaging Therapy. Thank you all for being here with me today at Out on the Limb. We're here to celebrate life and to illuminate the mind, the heart, the body, and the soul. And we have a very enlightening show today. Our theme is optimizing living, and that's why I'm so very pleased to feature my first special guest for today, Brian Johnson. Brian's mission in life is to help people optimize their life as he studies, embodies, and teaches the fundamentals of optimal living. I really love the idea of optimal living because it's so much part of we're all really aiming to own and actualize in our life. And he does this by integrating ancient wisdom, modern science, common sense, virtue, and mastery, and we're not going to forget fun. We need to add that fun in there for sure because that's so important part of bringing it all together and optimizing our life for an amazing existence. Brian is here to share strategies for optimizing your life so you can actualize your potential. Brian, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Nicola, thanks for inviting me. I'm really looking forward to our chat.
Well, me too. I know, Brian, that this topic of really, you know, our personal growth and optimizing, it's so important because, you know, we go to school, we learn subjects, but the most important subject of all, how to master living, is not taught, and there's really no formal education for that, and yet it informs and dictates every aspect of our existence. I mean, I'm in that. I know from, of course, doing my work, and I know how much people struggle with this, and I always think that, you know, really sitting on our potential is such a depleting, life-sucking feeling. And Brian, you are a man who has done quite some living. You know, you've launched 3 startups, you've studied philosophies, and what really draws me to you is the richness that you present in your life and your work, the inner and outer focus combined, and you bring these two into balance. And I know that so many people struggle with this inner life and outer life. It's one or the other and don't know how to bring it together. Yet you have been so, this has been so much the premise of what you've done and you've really been able to develop these strategies. So why did you do that? You know, why was it so important to do that for you, and why is it so important for others to really implement this combination of living inner and outer and bringing them together for success?
Yeah, it's a great question. And just to go to your early point too, it is weird that we go from math to science to history, but for some strange reason, we were never taught how to live. It's such a fundamental part of our existence, but we take it for granted. And my own personal journey, I've just been excited about reaching my highest potential. This idea that what makes great people great, what is it that makes those people who really make a significant difference in the world tick, and just been passionate about understanding how to integrate those truths, and have kind of spent half of the last 20 years in business mode and half in philosopher or lover of wisdom mode, and just really, really passionate about understanding what all the universal truths come back to again and again to help us live with more happiness and meaning and mojo.
I think that there's so much to be, I mean, because again, when people look at someone, and I mean, our society is so materialistic, someone who's had your successes and achieved some of the things that you have done, again, you know, having three startups and that you've had successes and you've been through your journey, of course, which I very much admire, and I think it's so important that you've been through the challenges and come through on the other side, which is in and of itself a conversation. However, we can get really caught up in, wow, those external things are, you know, make us successful, make us impressive. And yet, why is that? Why, for instance, why was that not enough for you? So after you did that, you went back and did the, you know, study philosophies and your own internal development. Was there an emptiness to it? Was it not enough?
Yeah, well, I think the different phases of my life, there was certainly more of an emptiness and a despair. I mean, there was a time in my early 20s, almost 20 years ago now, when I was dropping out of law school and rejecting the idea that if I go to a top school, I can get a stamp saying I'm a smart guy and then go live a great life. But it didn't feel authentic to me. When I dropped out, that was really challenging, and I was spinning, and it was really hard. And then started my first business and had some success with that, and then left that after selling it, and started exploring these ideas around wisdom and teaching. And for me, it's been very much a spiraling up, where it's been less about, in the beginning it was, and then it became this really passionate desire to fully express myself. And this sense that, as Abraham Maslow says, what one can be, one must be. And that's as fundamental a need as our need to eat and breathe and sleep. And that desire and impulse and need to self-actualize is really what's catalyzed me to find more and more authentic expressions of who I am and how I can give my gifts in greater service to the world.
I love that. I totally relate and identify with that need to self-actualize. And that is the premise of my life, and so important to me, and that drive and that passion for it. And again, I don't think I'm unique, and I don't think you're unique in that. And I guess so. The next question is, in all of your research and your own journey, and the work that you've done with others, and all the amazing work you've done, why do you think that some of us are able to have that experience, and others find themselves stuck and struggling, like? In a circle where they're not actually feeling like they're meeting their potential or optimizing their potential.
Yeah.
Love your term.
I think there are obviously an infinite number of reasons, but I think what comes to mind for me is those who succeed at anything work at it. So if you want to be a master, musician, what do? You practice. If you want to be a comedian, what do? You practice. You're Jerry Seinfeld. You write a joke every single day so you can master your craft. You want to be a great golfer. If you want to be truly great, you're practicing a ton. And for some weird reason, people think that you can create a great life without trying, without actually putting in the effort to master the whole process. And then we just kind of throw our arms up and complain and turn on the TV or open a bottle of wine or whatever we can do to numb ourselves from that pain that's there, which is a good thing. It's showing us that there's an opportunity for us to grow if we take the time to unplug from all the stimulation and actually go inside and then start doing the work to achieve the things we want to achieve. But it's not easy. It's not a wave a magic wand and everything is settled kind of thing. And I think that myth prevents a lot of people from taking the necessary steps to optimize.
So many points that you made there. I guess you heard me responding. I was just really getting really wrapped up in everything you were saying because it's really very so powerful. I mean, when I'm working with people, I will see this all the time when they're inside themselves and looking at themselves. A question that typically gets in the way is, I have to be responsible for myself. And that concept, that shift towards I have to take ownership for my life, can seem to be really, really daunting for humans. And then we can get really stuck at the points where there are disappointments and fears and then give up or just looking for like a quick fix, something will save me. And you've done so much research and studies and you have in your work and your philosopher's notes, which I really respect and think is a wonderful strategy for people to use. How do we work through that? So when we're like, oh, it's so hard, and oh, I've been disappointed, and oh, I tried, and it didn't work out, and oh, I failed, that kind of mindset, and then oh, you just give up and watch TV, like you said, and then shove the chocolate cake in your mouth. How do we not do that?
Yeah, well, again, there's so many different ways to approach that. What comes to mind now is a deep belief and a deep knowing that we can. So that whole self-efficacy / confidence, trust in ourselves, to realize it doesn't matter what we've experienced in the past. That's opportunities for us to learn. It doesn't mean that something is inherently wrong with us. We want to adopt what Carol Dweck would describe as the growth mindset and allow ourselves to learn from our experiences and know that if we diligently and patiently and persistently put in the effort over the long run, we're bound to be successful. And with that attitude, then we can roll up our sleeves and start with the simple stuff. It's like cleaning out a room that's a little dirty. Well, just take the first thing out and then take the next thing out. You don't need to get it clean in 5 minutes, and you won't get it clean in 5 minutes. But if you continue coming in and out and doing the work, you can do amazing things. And there's a certain momentum that's built as we start seeing that. And we can talk about that a lot more, but that's my initial thoughts.
That's so important. You keep going back to a statement that I love, that I use all the time myself. They're constant opportunities. They're constantly being opportunities. And that us shifting our lens towards things as opportunities rather than as failures or disappointments really changes the lens and changes the narrative and opens up possibilities for greater growth and learning. I really love one of the things in your life, one of your stories, where when you started your second startup and you had your investor, when you were brave enough to stand up and say this is what your vision was, you got an investment because you had actually gone through the mud and you had taken your own beatings and grown. And I think that's such an important lesson, that how you that optimized your life, those experiences.
Yeah, I mean, I just interviewed and chatted with a guy named Lanny Basham, who's one of the leading mental strength training guys, an Olympic gold medal winner. And he said, there's people think of winning and losing, but there's not winning and losing. It's winning or learning. If you don't win, you won't win all the time. Then what can you learn? And the story that you referenced, when I was raising money for my second business, we were blessed to have the support of a man who was extraordinarily successful, billionaire. And when he introduced me to his friends, as we were talking about the business and they were thinking about investing, all he said was, I invested in Brian because he knows how to get knocked down and get bloodied and get back up off the mat. That was all he said. And he said, Brian, tell us about your business. So this guy who had achieved that success didn't look at my quote-unquote failures as something that was wrong with me. He looked at my response to those failures as my greatest power. Because we're inevitably going to fall short, particularly if we have any dreams worth talking about. That's a given. And we need to be tough enough to realize that's how it works and then respond to it with power. So, yeah, it was weird to me when he introduced me that way at the moment. And then when I reflected on it in the time since, it was just an extraordinary thing to realize that that's what he valued the most.
This is, again, something that really attracts me to you, too, because, again, it's so much of why we as human beings don't optimize our potential, which is what your real focus is and what's really the point of all of that I do, too. That point where we just get so lost in those disappointments and start to identify with that, and that I love working in a group, and people spend so much time when I kept saying abolish that word, remove that word, failure to opportunity to learn, and how much resistance. What's wrong with failure? No, if you stop looking at the amount of resistance I got to saying, change the lens from failure to opportunity to learn. And it's so fascinating how we'll stay so stuck wanting to hold on to these really unhealthy or tapes that don't serve us. So in your research, what helps us like really sustain, and I know that change that we like, okay, keep going. What gets us to keep going and going and going?
Yeah, well, just to recognize the fact that no one likes to have learning opportunities, aka mistakes, aka what some people would call failures. So I think when we experience that, which we all do, and we experience the really? That's not because of something inherent to us. That's just being human. We're going to experience a bit of distress when we experience that. But for me, first of all, embracing that, because I'm a recovering perfectionist, and I used to try to get everything right all the time, and that was obviously suboptimal. So simply embracing the fact that mistakes are part of life. It doesn't mean something about me. It's just part of life. And then adopting a kind of growth learning mindset where what happens to me in my life now, I view as data. It's less good or bad or success or failure, and it's more just data. When I do this, when I sleep well and I exercise and I eat well and I meditate, I can have really good days. If I don't get a good night of sleep and I don't eat as well as I could, wow, my days just aren't quite as good. Now, that doesn't mean anything good or bad about me, but let me use that data to create a life that gets more and more optimized day in and day out. And the same thing applies to any other aspect of our lives. It's data. And we want to look at it neutrally like an experimenter and get excited about the data. The bad stuff coming in teaches us something if we allow it to from that mindset.
Well, I love that. I think that what stands out for me is that the concept of just not internalizing these experiences. They don't reflect something as, and you've said that, you've made that statement, and I think it's so important for the listeners to hear. When challenging things happen, it's not something about reflecting something's wrong with us, because people do that all the time. It means I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy, I'm doing something wrong. And we can get that's such a human condition to fall into those very unhealthy traps. And that you're saying, and that important message, don't internalize that. It's information, it's learning, and when we switch to that, then it really can liberate us from getting really trapped. And then we can keep going because we're learning, what I say, you're learning something positive. And, so beautiful what you're saying, by the way. And it's so important, a message. I want to turn to something else about you that I really admire and I think is a huge message or something that we all need to embrace in terms of moving forward as a, you know, as a globe, as a global culture, is how much that you have really been strong in the idea of capitalism and entrepreneurship, not just about our own well-being, but about transforming our world. That we moving forward in professionally, business, and capital as a capital society, capitalistic society rather. We need to be transforming the world at the same time. We need to combine the two together. Did you think like that in your studies? Did you come to that? And why is that so important?
Yeah, well, for me, I've always been committed to service and to making a difference. And I've never really been into the pure nuts and bolts mechanics of business as it's traditionally taught. But I always had a sense that business is an extraordinary force for good. And then years ago, almost a decade ago now, I was reading a debate in Reason magazine between John Mackey and Milton Friedman. John Mackey is the CEO of Whole Foods, and of course Milton the advocate of free markets, etc. But they were debating one another because Milton's perspective was it's all about making money, that's it. Mackey's perspective was, no, bring love into the equation. Think about all of your stakeholders, not just your investors. And the amazing thing is when you actually start with love and you look at optimizing all your relationships, you outperform the businesses that don't do that. And I read this, and I literally got tears in my eyes. And I read the comment string and the blog post, and I was almost crying because it was an amazing demonstration of the power of conscious capitalism. And I went on to get to know John and became a friend and mentor and investor in our business and deeply inspired by the conscious capitalism movement, where they're bringing together CEOs and entrepreneurs and other people passionate about these ideas to really reshape the way business is done. And it's just common sense, just golden rule applied to business. And again, all the data shows that those businesses outperform the more traditional businesses.
Well, that is extremely inspiring. I believe in it. I practice it. I think it's really important. And I think that there is a lot more conversation about this now than before, that there is more of an integration of the idea that, again, that we can come from not just dog-eat-dog mentality and we're out to get each other and that's how we succeed, but more of an inclusive rather than an invasive or territorial. And it's such a shift in our consciousness to start to change towards that. And how have you seen your own business change or develop as a result of that?
Yeah, well, one of the key ideas of the conscious capitalism movement in the book that John Mackey wrote with a guy named Raj Sisodia, who's a professor back east, is that conscious businesses are purpose-driven. So really identifying what's your purpose beyond making money, what's your purpose? How are you going to make a difference in the world? And then orienting in what they call a multiple stakeholder model, where you're committed to, of course, you have investors and it's important to return that investment well. But you also have your partners and you have your customers and you have society at large. How do we optimize for each of those relationships? It's not complicated, but it's powerful. When I bring that to my mind, I can see that interplay and there's a deeper commitment to serving each of them as profoundly as I can. And so that's some of the ways. And just having fun being a demonstration of that which is possible is also a big part of my life creatively that inspires me a lot.
Well, I see that on your website, brianjohnson.me, and that you offer scholarships, I think is what you call it, that people who can't afford your programs, they can apply, and so that you're creating access for everyone, so there's a kind of like a support system for everyone, which I think is just a beautiful way to create business and to really change, because everybody's benefiting and everybody's supporting each other. So I definitely found that very, very inviting and very accessible. And in getting back to that part, so you have your philosopher's notes, and so these are providing inspiration and guidance for people to stay, as you said, that we have to stay focused and keep training ourselves rather to, so that we not by not giving up, we keep going, we stay in the path, and that helps us. What is behind this, and what are we getting? Like how do these notes help us to stay focused and really optimize our potential?
Yeah, well, the philosopher's notes are basically 6-page PDF and 20-minute MP3 kind of notes on great books. So all of us have a stack of books, or most of us anyway, have a stack of books that may go to the ceiling. I'm looking at multiple stacks that go to the ceiling. And what I do is I read those books and I pull out what I call big ideas. So the sections that we underline and asterisk and fold the page over, those big ideas, any one of which can change our life, I like to pull out those, put them into this simple format, and give what we call more wisdom and less time, introducing people to great books, great authors they may not otherwise have been exposed to, and then really practical ideas they can apply to their lives now. I've done that with 250 books. Target is 1,000 books in the next 5+ years. And then I also integrate all that wisdom into what I call Optimal Living 101 classes. And our tagline for that is actually the class we never had. So what do all these teachers say again and again and again? They all come back to the same ideas. Mm-hmm. And I boil those into really simple, practical, inspiring classes that help people build habits, build their confidence, build a meditation practice, get stuff done, whatever it is, all the different facets of what I perceive to be the facets of optimal living, help people make significant change in their life, and blessed to be able to do that with a growing number of people, and excited about what we're going to be able to do in the years ahead.
Wow. And what change have you seen? Like, give us a story. I love those stories of how this has transformed someone.
Yeah, well, we sent out a little survey, and literally within hours, we had hundreds of people tell us things like this. We asked them, have we helped you optimize your life? One woman said, I have made more positive changes in my life from my brief membership, only 3 months so far, than I did through years of counseling. Yes, Brian Johnson, you are a rock star. Thank you. And I am making huge strides in optimizing my life as a result of your philosopher's notes and optimal living classes. I spend $19 a month on my gym membership to take care of my body. A mere $10 a month on an optimal living membership is, all caps, the biggest value and best investment I've ever made in my emotional, mental, and spiritual health. Thank you for the incredible work you're doing to inspire us to be rock stars in our own lives. Literally hundreds of people echoing that in different ways. And that's why I do what I do, is to get that type of response and know that we're actually able to help people transform their lives.
Well, that's incredibly rewarding, and I think it's really beautiful when we are, I think that, and this is what I observe, when we are really taking that, putting in the time, the effort to optimize our life, to tap into our potential, to realize it, to actualize it, that in doing so, we are at the same time really enhancing the world, as within, so without. It will feed out into the world, and that's what is so important in us doing the work. So it doesn't just benefit us; it benefits everything else around us, and that's what's so inspiring, and what you certainly represent for us to us today, for sure. And I think that I'm really appreciative of you being that, what I refer to as the beacon of light in that area, because anyone who is actualizing really shows others or sets an example, so that to keep helping others to be inspired and not to give up. And we need as much of that as we can in this journey of life, for sure.
Amen to
Brian,
that.
Yep. Yeah, I'm having such a good time. Nonetheless, we are closing in. Of course, the listeners can find you at brianjohnson.me. He has amazing videos on YouTube, and he's what I consider a YouTube VIP. So certainly, and then you can find out more about Brian in the links below. And to wrap up, I'd love to just leave the listeners with a final tip from you, a takeaway that they can utilize in their life to optimize living for themselves.
Yeah, well, I think one of the big ideas that I come back to in my work again and again is the fact that we pretty much already know, if not all, most of what we need to know. And the question is, how do we translate that from theory into practice? So one of the things I personally do in my own life and that I advocate in my work is to just slow down and see what's the one thing that you just know you could be doing consistently that would have the most positive benefit in your life. And what's the one thing you can stop doing that if you stop doing it would have the most positive benefit in your life? And focus on that. And as we do that and spiral up, it's extraordinary the changes that we can create. But to start simple and to enjoy the process, and yeah, that's kind of what comes to mind.
That's a wonderful, wonderful takeaway. Brian, again, you've been such a blessing. You've offered a lot of insight. You're living, you're walking your talk, which I think is something that I really respect and what I certainly wanted. That's why, I certainly want to share you with the listeners. So thank you for your time, your energy, your effort, and your amazing contribution to the world. And again, it's brianjohnson.me. Thank you again, Brian. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Nicola. Thank you. You too.
Okay, we've had a great show. See, Brian has given us lots of strategies and tips for optimizing living. And the message, the deepest message here is we're worth the effort. Keep plugging away and don't internalize or identify with the difficult challenges that we have or the difficult experiences we're having. They're not who we are. It's simply an opportunity for learning. Let's embrace that opportunity to learn. Love the idea that life, there is no failure. There is only learning. Jump on that bandwagon and let's keep moving. This is Dr. Nicola Bird. To get more insights in how you can lead your best life possible, go to my website, www.thewellness-network.com. You can join my mailing list. I have amazing experts there with so much strategies and tips for creating the amazing life that you deserve. Thank you for tuning in. As always, share Out on the Limb with your friends, and do keep in mind that sometimes you do need to go out on that limb to achieve the happy, healthy, and successful life that you so very, very much deserve. I'm Dr. Nicola Bird. See you right here tomorrow for another insightful and always entertaining segment of Out on the Limb.
You're tuned into Out on the Limb Radio with Dr. Nicola Bird in partnership with Beauty and Wellness TV. Tune in Monday to Friday, 5 p.m. Eastern and 2 p.m. Pacific.